Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Tech Talk podcast. Today, we're shifting gears a bit to discuss a fascinating and perhaps surprising evolution in one of our nation's most storied institutions, the National Guard.
That's right. We often think of the National Guard in terms of overseas deployments or traditional defense roles, but the reality on the ground is that climate change is fundamentally reshaping their mission.
Exactly. It's not a distant forecast anymore. It's a present-day reality. We're seeing an increasing frequency and intensity of natural disasters, and that's demanding more and more from the Guard's attention and resources. This isn't a subtle shift, it's a profound reorientation.
It really is. The Pentagon's data starkly illustrates this trend, showing a significant uptick in operational tempo for Guard units responding to natural catastrophes. Over the past decade, the number of billion-dollar disasters has climbed dramatically.
Think about the devastating wildfires out west, the relentless floods across the heartland, and the powerful hurricanes battering our coastlines. These aren't isolated incidents, they're part of a pattern scientists overwhelmingly agree is driven by a changing climate.
And this surge in disasters isn't just a statistical anomaly, it's actively reshaping how and where the National Guard is called upon. For many units, domestic operations have taken center stage, often eclipsing their historical role focused on overseas combat.
The list of missions they're increasingly tasked with is extensive and varied, isn't it? Fighting wildfires, managing floods, providing relief after hurricanes, urban search and rescue, even humanitarian aid during extreme heatwaves or blizzards.
It's a far cry from earlier eras where deployments might have been more singularly focused on combat missions abroad. Consider the California National Guard battling unprecedented wildfire seasons, or the Texas National Guard working tirelessly during catastrophic floods.
These are the lived experiences of thousands of Guard members. This constant pivot between different types of missions, however, places an immense strain on resources, training, and personnel readiness. It really makes you question what image of the Guard comes to mind.
Exactly. Is it soldiers in fatigues preparing for deployment overseas, or is it men and women in uniform donning hard hats and waders, wading through floodwaters? The reality is increasingly the latter.
And yet, the unique capabilities Guard members bring to these domestic crises are precisely what make them indispensable. Their engineering expertise for rebuilding infrastructure, their medical skills for treating the injured, their logistical prowess for getting aid to those who need it.
This sheer scale and frequency of domestic challenges really necessitates a closer look at the specific impacts on the Guard's structure and readiness. It's not just the institution feeling the strain, the impact on reservists is particularly profound.
That's a critical point you raise about reservists. They live a dual life, maintaining civilian careers and families while fulfilling military obligations. Frequent disaster deployments can be incredibly disruptive to that balance.
Absolutely. Imagine a reservist who's a teacher, a small business owner, or a healthcare professional. A call-up for a lengthy disaster response means leaving their students, their business, or their patients without them.
The personal cost can be immense burnout, stress, jeopardized careers. While precise data on increased duty days for disaster response can be elusive, the qualitative impact is undeniable. Reservists are spending more time away from their civilian lives.
And this also creates a challenge in maintaining proficiency in traditional military skills. If annual training must be dedicated to disaster response techniques, it can divert focus from combat readiness.
This growing demand for domestic response raises critical questions about the Guard's long-term preparedness and strategic priorities. In response to these escalating demands, the Guard is actively adapting its training, equipment, and outlook.
We're seeing specialized training for wildfire suppression, floodwater rescue, and advanced logistics for mass casualty events. These aren't your grandfather's training exercises, they're increasingly sophisticated simulations.
And beyond training, there's a clear need for updated equipment and technology. Think advanced watercraft, more effective firefighting aircraft, and robust communication systems that can function when networks are compromised.
The strategic implications are significant too. Is the National Guard evolving into a more prominent domestic first responder force, potentially at the expense of its role as a Federal Reserve force?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? There's a delicate balance between meeting state-level needs for disaster relief and fulfilling federal requirements for overseas deployments. And their effectiveness hinges on strong partnerships with civilian agencies.
Collaborations with FEMA, state and local emergency management, and NGOs are becoming more critical than ever. These relationships require seamless coordination and a shared understanding of roles during a crisis.
Looking ahead, the trends suggest the Guard's role in domestic disaster response is only likely to grow. Projections indicate a continued increase in extreme weather events, a direct consequence of ongoing climate change.
So, sustained investment in the Guard's capabilities for domestic operations isn't just advisable, it's essential. This requires not only funding for training and equipment, but also a broader strategic recognition of this evolving mission.
Policy discussions need to address whether disaster response should be a more explicitly defined and funded component of the Guard's mission set. How can society better support the National Guard in its increasingly demanding dual role?
Recognizing the sacrifices of reservists, supporting their civilian employers, and advocating for adequate funding are all crucial steps. The Guard's unique value lies in bridging military capabilities and civilian needs.
At the heart of this are the dedicated men and women of the Guard, their resilience, adaptability, and unwavering commitment to service. Their adaptation to climate change impacts is a compelling story of evolving duty.
It's a critical national asset being tested like never before, and ultimately, a story of profound resilience in the face of unprecedented challenges. And it's this very resilience that brings us to a crucial point, the impact on the individual service member.
We've touched on the strain on reservists, but let's delve deeper into what this sustained, often unpredictable, operational tempo means for these citizen soldiers. Imagine being a firefighter in your civilian life, and then getting the call to battle a wildfire.
They are, in essence, becoming dual first responders, leveraging their existing civilian skills and supplementing them with military training for disaster scenarios. It's a demanding dual role that requires immense dedication.
Consider the National Guard's response to Hurricane Harvey in 2017. Tens of thousands activated, providing search and rescue, distributing supplies, supporting shelters. Many were pulled away from their jobs and families for extended periods.
For a small business owner, a multi-week deployment could mean lost revenue and struggling employees. For a parent, it means missing birthdays and school events. The emotional toll of witnessing widespread devastation is also significant.
This leads us to the critical issue of readiness, not just in terms of equipment and training, but in terms of human capital. The Pentagon's own reports have highlighted concerns about the Guard's readiness for traditional federal missions.
When training time is dedicated to swift water rescue or firefighting equipment, it inherently diverts attention from skills needed for conventional military operations. It's a question of balance and strategic allocation, not necessarily one being more important.
The legislation and funding structures were largely designed for a Cold War-era military, emphasizing its role as a reserve force for federal combat missions. While the Guard has always had a domestic mission, its scale and complexity have dramatically increased.
This creates a fundamental tension. States rely heavily on their Guard units for immediate support, with governors looking to them to protect citizens. Simultaneously, the federal government views the Guard as a critical component of its overall military strength.
This dual-use nature is both its greatest strength and its most significant challenge. It allows for unparalleled flexibility, but it also means resources are constantly being stretched thin. A unit focused on wildfire suppression might see its maneuver warfare skills diminish.
Let's consider the equipment angle more closely. Much of the military's equipment is designed for overseas combat and isn't always ideal for domestic use. Heavy-duty vehicles might be ill-suited for navigating debris-strewn streets in a flood-ravaged town.
The specialized equipment needed for domestic disaster response, advanced water purification, heavy-duty pumps, specialized airdropping capabilities often requires separate procurement and maintenance. This adds complexity and cost.
Furthermore, the concept of readiness needs a nuanced re-evaluation. Now, a significant component of readiness must encompass the capacity to respond rapidly and effectively to a wide array of domestic emergencies.
This requires a shift in how we train, equip, and fund the National Guard. It necessitates a proactive approach, anticipating future needs rather than simply reacting to current events. The data from DHS and FEMA paints a clear picture.
The number of declared disasters has been on an upward trajectory for years, and each triggers a potential call for Guard assistance. This isn't a trend that's likely to reverse without significant global action on climate change.
Therefore, the National Guard's role as a domestic first responder is not a temporary surge, it's becoming a permanent and increasingly vital aspect of its mission. This evolving mission also presents an opportunity for innovation and enhanced collaboration.
The Guard's unique position makes it an ideal partner for developing integrated response strategies. Imagine joint training exercises that bring together the Guard, FEMA, State Emergency Management, and local fire departments.
These exercises could simulate complex disaster scenarios, allowing each entity to understand the capabilities and limitations of the others, fostering seamless coordination when a real crisis strikes. We're also seeing a growing recognition of the need for specialized units.
For example, some states are developing dedicated wildfire suppression battalions. Others might focus on managing widespread power outages or providing medical support in mass casualty events. This specialization allows for more efficient use of resources.
However, this evolution is not without its challenges. The sheer scale of some disaster responses can overwhelm even well-prepared units. The aftermath of a major hurricane or a prolonged wildfire season requires a sustained effort.
This is where integration with civilian agencies becomes absolutely paramount. The Guard cannot, and should not, be expected to handle every aspect of a disaster response alone. Its role is to supplement and augment existing civilian efforts.
Let's circle back to the reservist experience. The impact of frequent disaster deployments on their civilian lives is a significant concern for retention and morale. If they feel their service is consistently disrupting their lives without adequate support, willingness to serve will diminish.
This is why policies that support reservists are so critical. Robust family support programs, clear communication with civilian employers, and ensuring adequate compensation are essential. The psychological impact also needs to be addressed.
While the military has made strides in mental health support for combat deployments, the unique stressors of disaster response require tailored support. This could include specialized counseling, peer support networks, and robust reintegration programs.
The question of funding is also a perpetual challenge. The Guard's budget might not always prioritize the specific needs of domestic disaster response. States often bear a significant portion of the cost, but federal support is crucial.
This necessitates ongoing dialogue and advocacy to ensure the National Guard has the resources it needs to fulfill its evolving mission. The narrative of the National Guard is shifting. It's a story of a proud institution adapting to a different kind of battle.
A battle against the forces of nature, amplified by a changing climate. It's a testament to their adaptability and commitment that they are rising to meet these challenges, but it's also a call to action for us.
We need to understand these evolving demands, support the men and women who answer the call, and ensure this vital national asset is equipped, trained, and funded for the future it's already facing. The Guard is on the front lines of defending our communities.
And their mission, while evolving, remains as vital as ever. The National Guard's role in disaster response isn't just about manpower, it's about bringing a unique set of skills and capabilities to bear. Their engineering units can rapidly construct temporary bridges or clear roads.
Their medical personnel can set up field hospitals or assist overwhelmed civilian hospitals. Their logistics experts can manage the complex flow of aid and supplies. This synergy of military discipline and civilian empathy is indispensable.
Think about the scale of the problem. A single major hurricane can impact millions, disrupting power grids, water supplies, and communication networks for weeks or months. The Guard plays a critical role in both immediate relief and long-term recovery.
This isn't a partisan issue, it's a national security issue. Climate change is a threat multiplier, exacerbating existing vulnerabilities and creating new ones. The National Guard is uniquely positioned to be a key player in building resilience.
The conversation around the National Guard's future must acknowledge this fundamental shift. We need to move beyond the traditional image of the Guard as solely a reserve component for overseas combat. The domestic mission has grown in prominence and urgency.
This requires a strategic re-evaluation of priorities, resource allocation, and training methodologies. Ultimately, the story of the National Guard in climate change is a story of adaptation and resilience. It's about dedicated service members stepping up,
often at great personal cost. And it's a story that demands our attention, our support, and our commitment to ensuring this critical institution is prepared for the future it is already facing. The Guard is on the front lines,
not just of national defense, but of defending our communities against the growing impacts of a changing planet. And their mission, while evolving, remains as vital as ever. It's truly a remarkable adaptation.
Absolutely. It highlights the interconnectedness of global challenges and our domestic security. Thanks for diving into this with us today on Tech Talk.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into the world of technology and its impact on our lives. Until then, stay informed and stay safe.